Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we start a new book. A new book means a book that consists of various chapters on a specific topic. So, Kitab Iyadatil Maridi wa Tashyi'il Mayyiti wa Salati Alayhi wa Huduri Dafnihi wal Makthi 'inda Qabrihi ba'da Dafnihi. The book on visiting the sick, escorting the deceased, performing salah for him, attending his burial, and briefly remaining at his qabr, at his grave, after his burial. So the book on visiting the sick, and then after a person is sick, what happens generally? You find a person that is terminally ill, he passes away, so escorting the deceased, performing salah for him, janazah salah, attending his burial, and briefly remaining at his qabr, after his burial. So first chapter, Babu Iyadatil Maridi, the chapter on visiting the sick. You find muhaddithin that often they would bring the hadith in some form of sequence. For example, if they were starting with taharat, then they will start with the etiquettes or the hadith dealing with going to the toilet, because that's the first step in the process of taharat. The person goes to the toilet. Then they will bring kitabul wudu, or the chapters on wudu, and then, or the babs on wudu. Then after wudu, they'll bring ghusl. And then thereafter, they'll bring salah. So like that, there's some sequence that they take and they will bring in order to create some type of sequence in the chapters that they bring in. So you'll see that they start with toilet, then go to ghusl, then go to wudu, then go to salah. Then in salah, they'll go to the different forms of salah, the times of salah, then they'll go to actual etiquettes, actual faraiz of salah, and then they'll go into the furu'at, the different avenues of masail that come out from salah itself. For example, Jummah salah, Salatul Khusuf, salah that's read at the solar eclipse, read at the lunar eclipse. Then they'll go to different ahadith dealing with different types of salah. But where did they start off? They started off at toilet. So they bring a certain type of sequence. So yeah, under this chapter also we'll find, under this broad book, we'll find the chapter starting with the sikh. This is the sequence that we start. We don't just only go to the qabr of a person. If there's a chance of visiting the person when he's not well also, this is what a Muslim does. So the chapter on visiting the sick. Anil Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu qal, Amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi iyadatil maridi wa attiba'il janazati wa tashmitil atisi wa ibraril muqsimi wa nasril mazlumi wa ijabatil da'i wa ifsha'il salami muttafaqun alayhi. Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to visit the sick, attend funerals, say yarhamuka Allah to the one who sneezes, assist to fulfill the oath of a person who took an oath, assist the oppressed, accept the invitation of one who invites, and make the greeting of salam common. We'll explain this a little bit more. This hadith had come before previously also, it was discussed. We'll discuss it just now. The next hadith is also short. We got a similar meaning to this one. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Haqqul muslimi ala al muslimi khamsun, raddu salami wa iyadatul maridi wa attiba'ul janaizi wa ijabati da'wati wa tashmitul atisi, muttafaqun alayh. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a Muslim has five rights over another Muslim. The first is to reply to the salam. The second is to visit the sick. The third, to attend funerals, attend janazas. The fourth is to accept an invitation. And the fifth is to say, Yarhamukallah, to the one who sneezes. We did this before. When a person sneezes, he says, Alhamdulillah. On that occasion, it is preferable for us to say, Yarhamukallah. So just going into a few explanations here, is that we're living in a world where everyone... the rights is self-centered. In other words, everything is about my rights. What are my rights? What are my rights? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and taught us the rights of others. Islam focuses on the rights of others and focuses on our obligations. Unlike the world, the secular world we are living in, people are focusing on their own rights and forgetting about their obligations. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept warning us about our obligations to others. So in this hadith also, that same spirit is echoed, that what are our rights to our brothers? This is something that we should always be looking at. So the first is, a person, he replies, he visits the sick, person makes salam, he replies, he attends the janazas, etc. This one about accepting invitations, a person has to always ensure that there is no wrong taking place, there is no fitna that is taking place, there is no intermingling, there is no photography, there is no music, there is no guna taking place. Then if there is no sin taking place, it's nice for a person to accept the dawat of his brother. It's something that Shariat encourages us to do. Take out some time and visit a person. This makes such a big difference to people. Maybe some people may not know it, may not take it to heart, but there are people that you accept their dawat, they'll take it to heart, that it meant so much to them that you accepted their invitation. But obviously this needs to be looked at in every situation. And the last one was Yarhamukallah, we explained that. Anyway, under this there are certain etiquettes of visiting a sick. The beauty of Islam is, it doesn't only tell us to visit the sick. Here we're doing the chapter on visiting the sick. We are not only told to visit the sick. When we go to visit a sick person, there are also etiquettes. But sometimes when you visit a sick person and you don't observe the etiquette, you can cause more pain, more difficulty, more harm to the person than good by going to visit him. So therefore in Shariat we are taught etiquettes of visiting the sick person. Here we'll just mention 8. The first is, a person should perform wudu before visiting. If possible, perform wudu before going to visit the sick person. There are a lot of benefits of wudu. So it's something that is good. We go in a state of wudu to visit the sick person. Imagine, we are taught this so many years ago. Nowadays they come with the person must wash his hands and wash his face and keep himself clean. We've been taught all this so many years ago. So one is we're getting internal spiritual cleanliness, and one is we're getting external cleanliness before visiting the sick person by making wudu. Number 2 is, visit him as soon as he falls ill. Do not delay the visit unnecessarily. Often it happens, we say that we're going to visit, we'll go and visit, we'll go and visit. And then before we know it, something happens to the person, he happens to pass away. Or sometimes he recovers totally and we don't get that opportunity of visiting the sick person. So this is number 2. As soon as the person falls ill, it's nice to go and visit him at a convenient time. So this is number 3. Do not prolong the visit, thereby causing inconvenience to the ill person and his family. If he is comforted by the visitor and is happy with the presence of the person coming, then there is no harm. So what is number 3? You do not cause any inconvenience by staying long by the sick person. Go there, visit him for a short while. Give him words of encouragement. Don't say, oh shame, what's going to happen to you? Sometimes instead of giving a person hope, you're causing a person more distress by making him feel sorry for himself over his condition. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit a person and he would say, La ba'sa tahurun inshallah. Nothing to worry about. This is just a small cleansing process you're going through. You'll be okay. Words of encouragement, there's nothing wrong for giving a person words of encouragement. Even though he may be terminally ill and he may be in the last stages of cancer, there's no harm in still giving that person hope also. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should we not give any person hope? This was the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here the lesson is under this point, is keep that visit brief. It is not going to sit by a person for long hours, short. However, if the person insists that stay longer, or you know that he wants you to stay longer, then there is no harm to stay longer. Also, when you're choosing the time to go, choose a time that is convenient for the sick person and is convenient for his family also, because to a certain extent, they are also getting inconvenience by us coming to visit. So therefore we should choose a suitable time. Number 4, make dua for him in his presence. There's nothing to feel shy about. Normally dua of a person in the Muslim in the absence of his brother is readily accepted. When we're visiting a sick person, make dua in his presence. That dua lifts up the spirit of the sick person. In his presence, this is the sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua in the presence of the sick person. Number 5, inquire from him about his health, and if this is not possible, then from his family members. Ask him, how are you feeling, how's everything going? But one thing is very important, ulama teaches, is that when inquiring him about his health, etc., don't go into too much of detail. Don't go into too much of specific. You got a sore, where that sore is it very painful? Sometimes it might be in a place, that sore may be in a place that is embarrassing for him to explain or to tell. So now we're putting him through some type of embarrassment. Just general, how you feeling, how's everything, inshallah you'll be okay. So it shows like some concern from our side, we're coming to visit the sick person, and we are showing some type of concern. Number 6, it's set at his head side. Either we stand at his head side, if there's no place to sit, if there's a place to sit at the head side of a sick person, rather than standing from the legs or standing from right in front of him, come close to him, come to his head side. Number 7, request his duas. So one is we going there and we're making dua. And number 6, here we are requesting the duas of a sick person, because the duas of a sick person is also readily accepted. So we're asking him also, please make dua for us. And number 8, encourage him towards patience. Encourage him, be patient, inshallah, you'll be rewarded. Allah Ta'ala will grant you shifa. Just be a little bit patient, inshallah. With this difficulty you're going through, there'll be a lot of goodness, inshallah, that will come out of it. There'll be a lot of benefit coming out of it. Just hold, be strong, be patient, and inshallah, you'll see the reward. So encouraging the person towards patience. These are some of the etiquettes of visiting a sick person. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. We should never ever go there and engage in ghibat, engage in other unnecessary talk. These are things that a person should do. If every visitor keeps these etiquettes in mind, it will be such a pleasure for a sick person to keep entertain visitors, keep visitors. But if these etiquettes are not kept there, then sometimes a person can be put more into depression than person getting encouragement. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillah.